8123 podcast. What's up?
Hello. That was different. You didn't do your normal thing.
I know. Just
like you literally have done the same thing for 150 times or something, and then you decide this one to switch it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a new day.
It's a new day. This is an awesome episode. This was really fun.
This was probably my favorite one we've done in a long time. Podcast we've done in a long time.
Brandon Benson, who produced Forever Halloween, and who we haven't seen or talked to much since, in about 7 years, 8 years.
I haven't talked to him since the day we left the studio. I know John's been back and forth a few times with him, but I mean, I waved by and I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, I mean, we got into it and talked about the process of making the record and what it was like and how it was different for us than any other record and different for him. And it was cool to hear his perspective because, you know, I feel like a little bit at the time for us, we felt maybe inferior.
Yeah.
Would be the word.
Yeah.
You know, he plays in the Raconteurs, a band that he co-fronts with Jack White and has an awesome solo career and is just like an incredible musician and works in these realms and plays with these artists that we felt at the time were just so above where our band was at as far as like musicianship and stuff. So to hear him talk about the record with such fondness was pretty exciting to hear. And,
for sure.
You know,
yeah, it was nice. Cause I was always, you're just kind of curious when you haven't talked to someone in a long time and you do something like make an album, which is this really intense thing for such a short period of time. For him to look back and be like just as proud of it as we are, it makes me extremely happy. And like excited that like we feel the same way. It wasn't just a moment for him. It was something, you know, special.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
It was great.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome talk. Well, if you like Forever Halloween, we are playing that record in full on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get your tickets at themainband.com. If you didn't know, yeah, and if you're already on Pillar, you just get to watch it for free. You don't have to buy a ticket. It'll just be on there. And we are very excited for that show.
And for people who aren't on Pillar, this month has been very heavily Forever Halloweened. There's tons of demos and stuff that we've never posted. Songs that have never been posted that are up there. One that particularly is my favorite, I don't know why I record it, called Desert Wasteland, that's up on there. So if you like music by us that no one else has heard, it's up on there. So go check out Pillar.
Yep. Heck yeah. Well, we will we'll get into episode here because there's a motorcycle driving past me, and we talked for a while. So this is us and Brendan Benson, the producer of Forever Halloween, talking about the making of that record and his career and all that kind of stuff and life. So, but first, a quick message from the sponsors. We'll get into it. All right, you should both be on there. Are you here, Garrett?
Yay.
Hey, Garrett.
How's it going, man?
Good.
It's been a while.
Thanks for doing this.
It's been a while.
Hell yeah. It has been. Dude, it's been like, actually, how long? Like,
That was 2013, I think, or end of 2012. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. 8 years.
So weird.
Dang.
Yeah. It's so crazy, like, making records is, you know, you, like, do this thing and you're working with people and have this, like, connection every single day for however many months, and then
yeah, this really intense emotional connection. Yeah,
yeah, and then everybody's off doing their own thing.
Yeah,
and busy making their own records again and whatever.
Right.
So.
It's a very strange relationship. Yeah, and then if you're a producer, or if you're you know if you're working on that side of the glass, you do that kind of stuff all the time, which it's hard for me to do, you know, hard, like exhausting. So, I mean, obviously a band, you do it once every album cycle, whatever, or not even at all. But yeah, that's a weird relationship. Same thing with touring too, right? You tour with guys and
exactly,
you know, and then they're not in the band anymore. It's like, what?
I can't tell you like how many just like all like the even just like guys that we've had in our crew for 5 years,
right.
You know, and you have like such a close bond and you're hanging all the time, and then once that ends, it's just like gone.
Or this pandemic, or during this pandemic too. Yeah, like you know, like I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of missing all those people. You're like touring, but I'm also. But I also miss that camaraderie too, you know, like just being on the road with your crew and, you know, it's all for one and all that crap.
I know.
Yeah. It's like the end of high school after every tour.
It is. Totally. It's like, you know, we should all have yearbooks like that we write in. Like,
I remember there was a tour.
Summer.
There was a tour we did a long time ago that we all got posters at the end, and like some bands were going around and like having everyone like, "Hey man, like this was really cool, like
hell yeah, dude,
sign it." And it was just like, that happened one time.
I wish I'd done that.
Oh, man.
I wish I'd done that. That's a good idea, man. We should. I'm gonna start that. Wow.
In 2030. We're all
right. Yes. Jeez, man. What are y'all doing during this thing? How are you, I don't know, keeping busy, I guess, staying?
Yeah, we've been, we made a record kind of like at the beginning of it, I guess. So at first we were kind of thinking like, man, like this is actually like, if this is going to happen, you know, for like kind of thinking selfishly, for our band, this is like the best time because our album cycle had just ended and we were gonna start working on a record. So we're thinking like, well, like by the summer, like when we were gonna put the record out, we'll be back on tour. So we went and made a record, and then now that's been almost done for a bit. Like we're still mixing finishing stuff up, so we've been doing that. But you just put out a record right before all this, or
right after it happened. I was in fact rehearsing for South by Southwest with a band when I got the call, like,
it's
you know, they're canceling, they're not doing the festival. And so I was like, well, wait a second. I got a record out. I need to go on tour. What's going on? And slowly, everyone just started, or actually quickly, people, all these tours just started dropping like flies. They were dropping. And like, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, fuck, man. But like you, I think I thought, well, I mean, trying to see like an upside, trying to see, well, maybe people will be streaming more. And so let me try to, you know, focus my sort of promotion on that kind of stuff. And I don't know, it turns out that people weren't streaming at all, in fact, because they were kind of thrown off their daily, their routines. And I don't know, it was like, it turns out to be the worst time to release a record. So
you guys
just wait it out, you're good. And wait to put your record out, I would recommend.
It's one of those things where it's like everybody kind of has a different take on, like, everyone's sitting at home looking at the phones or, you know, they're listening to music. But it, like, really feels like people don't have the brain capacity right now to, like, give something give something new their attention because there's just so much bullshit happening in the world that
it's just like you kind of can't move on until we figure this out or something. It's like, you know, it's like we're stuck in this. People are kind of even me, I'm guilty of it, just trying to kind of being on social media a lot and trying to drive this election or steer this election in a way, you know, just so that we can kind of mostly to get it over with and get on with shit that I want to do.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God, but I don't know. Anyhow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted to go back a bit. I think something for us. We're getting ready on the 31st on Halloween to do this live stream show where we're gonna play Forever Halloween the record in full, as kind of a way to relive some better times and. Perform a record that's you know kind of gone on to mean a lot to our fans. So I thought it'd be fun to talk to you about making that record and stuff. I was thinking about kind of why we decided to talk to you about making the record in the first place, and kind of was curious if you've ever like worked with anybody like this, but so our thought was like, let's find a guy that's in a band that like is also a producer and like maybe we'll get the band perspective a bit more. And your name was like the first one on the list, and we like didn't expect you to be into it, and then you were, and we like very quickly got super excited because when we talked to you, I remember the first thing that you said is that our past albums were very like perfect and they were very very polished and everything was like edited to the grid and perfect. And you're like, I like want to hear you guys just as a band, you know, like a band in a room.
Right.
Do you remember when you heard our band for the first time? Like, was there any, or were you kind of reluctant to work on the record because of like what albums we had done in the past?
Maybe a little bit. I don't remember exactly, but I do know this. I mean, this is kind of an age old. I mean, for me, it's kind of a it's not uncommon scenario because, back then I wasn't interested in that. I was interested in hearing like personalities in a band or, you know, I was turned off by by songs on the grid, you know, and I say on the grid meaning obviously just really kind of processed and produced to like within inches of its life, you know, just so I don't know. And I was, you know, I'm in a band like the Raconteurs that were kind of like opposite that, real, you know, I couldn't really do it. I couldn't promise you guys that I could. I mean, I could, maybe you guys could play it well, and we could, of course, hire a mixer to, after the fact, make it all, you know, whatever. But I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew what you were getting. I'm kind of more of the rock and roll swagger school of music, I guess, you know. But having said that, I think, you know, that was 8 years ago, and I've come a long way, and I have found a nice, comfortable place on the grid. In fact, I'm. In fact, it's kind of fun, and it's great for a person like me, a solo person, you know, because
like a drummer or anything.
Exactly, and so I figured, you know, I wanted to hear the band. I didn't hear the band really on those records. I didn't think, but now I think I wouldn't be saying the same thing. You know, of course, I would. Yeah. I wouldn't be so caught up on that. I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew you were getting, you know, kind of loose. You know, I love that kind of loose rock and roll style, Led Zeppelin and classic stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and I think for us, what was so like interesting is we really had no idea what we were getting ourselves into, because, you know, like we had only made records a certain way, you know, up until then, and it was like kind of this major gap between us and you, because you know it felt like for you the only way you had made records was just you set up a band in a room and you hey, record, you know.
Yeah.
And for us it was like such the opposite of like record the drums, record the rhythm guitar,
right,
record the bass. So it was kind of this learning curve, you know.
I remember having kind of this conversation with you near the beginning of making the album, where I think you mentioned like you had made your first album or some demos early on where you had done things separate, and and then you're like, you didn't like the experience of doing it that way, and you're like, there's just a feeling that's missing when you're not playing all at the same time and doing it. And that stuck with me, because I was like, it does feel different, it does have a looseness, but in the best way.
Did you call it, what'd you say, a what?
Looseness. Little
looseness.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's you know, it's kind of almost a that sort of being on the grid, is what we keep calling it, or that style of production or brand of music, whatever you want to call it, is kind of a brand. It's almost like a style of music or a genre of music. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I guess, you know, because I don't really listen to a ton of music like that, I guess, you know. I mean, like your band, like the Maine. But of course, I'm a huge Maine fan now, and I mean, that comes with sort of working on a record. And I thought too at the time that wouldn't this be kind of interesting to kind of turn this on its head a little bit, like turn this whole band, kind of put you in that position, make it weird, make it like a challenge, or give it some adversity, so the guy's not in the corner reading a magazine while the drummer's laying down, you know,
for sure,
that kind of thing. And it's fun for everybody, and everybody's kind of, it's very interactive, it's very live in the moment, everyone's kind of screaming at each other and blah blah blah. I like all that stuff, I'm used to that. But also I thought that it might be a good, or I was pretty confident that you in your career should make a record like this, you should experience that, you know, at least one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel bad going for that experimental like that, because I thought, man, you know, you guys should have this experience anyhow, you know, cut to tape, and because you'll never get it again, it'll probably never happen, so you're welcome.
For sure.
I mean
we always say, it's like, it felt like the closest we'll get to making a record in the 70s. And at that point, like, that was all the shit we were listening to. Like, we were, you know, like,
right,
the Stones and Zeppelin and, like, all these things were, like, heavily, heavily influenced us at that time. And, like, Fleetwood Mac. And it was, like...
Yeah. Oh, God.
It was the closest we'd ever get to that. Like, you smoking a cigarette in the control room and the, you know, we did four takes.
It's not going to happen.
You know, four takes, and then you're like kind of on your back with your shirt off, and then all of a sudden we just see your hand with a cigarette and going, that's the one. And then we come in the live room and it's like,
God.
It's like done.
Oh, God.
It was like so cool.
That's funny. Oh, that sounds terrible. Well, I hope I was a little more professional, but
no, it was the best.
But that's kind of true, and like I feel like that's something to experience as a band. That's something to go through. Like, that's how they did it, man. That's how music, all these bands that you love so much, that's how they did it. So
yeah,
tried and true method. Let's try it. You know, you guys are on the spin on the grid, so let's try this. And I think the result was cool. It's kind of a hybrid, you know, kind of a
for sure.
I think it's, so. I was listening to it before we did this too, just to kind of, you know, remember. And oh God, this record's so good. I mean, you guys, I mean,
it is.
It is really, man. The songs are great. The songs are really cool. You know, maybe we were a little guilty of having too much fun. You know, I mean, like it gets a little, you know, it gets a little sometimes like dramatic. There's a lot of bells and whistles. There's a lot of like, you know, that kind of like ear candy stuff. And I don't know, but that stuff's still all good. Those are good problems to have on a record, maybe, you know.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah, I was thinking back on like the first day, because that for us, that moment was like when we got there, and
oh no, what?
I remember going back to the apartment that night and being like, "What the fuck just happened?" So,
what was it?
No, it was so our expectation had been like, all right, so you do like a week of pre-production, and you know for people that don't know what that means, basically we're gonna listen to all the demos we have, we're gonna work out all the songs in like a band practice kind of format, and then we're gonna pick which 10 or 12 are gonna be on the record, and then we'll start recording them like. Once they're all mapped out, and we get in there, and you're like, "All right, well, what do you guys want to do first?" And we started tracking the song.
That went all out the way.
Yeah, we started like tracking the song, and it was like,
"Well,
I remember
you're missing a part. We had sent you Happy as the demo, and you're like, that was the last one I liked. Let's do that one." And we're like, what? Like, we're going to start right now?
Oh, God. This is probably not a good endorsement for me as a producer, but...
No, it is.
Also, in my defense in those days, which is probably going to be my excuse just generally, overall, my overarching excuse in this discussion is my drinking. I think... That was the big deal then, man. I drank so much, man. I was not, you know, very clear-headed, shall we say, or thinking, always thinking clearly, you know. But I was still, you know, of course, I mean, you know, I was able to, whatever, deliver, make the record, but yeah, you know, semi-drunk, I guess. So, you know, that'll explain a few. That should explain some things.
No, I honestly think that was the best thing that could have happened, because we didn't have to think about it like too much. It was like we're just gonna do it, and the song is good, and let's track it, and like let's get the momentum going, you know, as opposed to just like sitting there and listening to demos. And then it's just kind of this awkward thing. It's like, oh, let's put something to tape so we can hear like how it's going to sound.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was my reasoning in the end, probably. Because we were just meeting each other. We were just embarking on a record a month, you know, we knew it was going to be like some weeks, and so the thought of sort of sitting there mulling over demos and kind of starting off with grueling tasks sounded like maybe we should break the ice first and just kind of, you know, play a song, man, just have everyone set up and play. That's usually the best the best way. But I mean, I thought originally, I think I was thinking maybe we would track the tape, which I believe, I was trying to remember, I think we did, but I think we may have used Clasp.
Yeah, that's what we did.
We did.
Okay, so there wasn't, it was kind of like, which, you know, for people who don't understand, it's almost like, it's like recording on tape, but you also have the luxury of kind of you can also use, you know, Pro Tools in tandem with tape. It's kind of the that technology. It's kind of, it's no longer, I think it's obsolete that now, I would say, to say, but it was a cool sounding thing, whatever. But it didn't allow you to, you kind of needed to know your stuff before you press record. You couldn't just, you know, like on Pro Tools, you can just try shit all day long, and right? But on tape, it just gets the sounding, it sounds worse and worse, you know, as you tape over, as you record over it and stuff. So, I don't know. It was just also kind of logistics.
Yeah. I mean, and there's tons of times when that ended up being a tool. We, like, Forever Halloween, the song, ended up being, the way it ended was because the tape ran out. So, like, it ended up being a, because we didn't even know how to finish that song.
Right.
We were just playing it over and over, and then we're like, I don't, maybe we'll just fade out, I think was the initial plan, and then the tape stopped, and we're like, there you go, perfect. That's how you finish this album.
Right. That's so weird, because I was just listening to that. Like I said, I was listening to that record, and I had it cranked up, too, and I was singing along to the end of that song, too, because it's fucking badass. And, yeah, that was so weird. It just, I didn't remember that, but it just suddenly stopped, man. I was screaming in my studio all alone.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and I think we didn't know when you said, like, we were going to record this, like, as a band live, I don't think that we understood, like, to what extent you were thinking by that. I mean, yeah. I remember on that song, you know, Forever Halloween, it was Kennedy was playing an acoustic in the hallway, which, like, to us, I would think, like, oh, well, like, the acoustic, like, we'll just get that, you know, once we're done with the basic tracks. But it was like, no, we're going to record the acoustic in the hallway, and then we're going to have John playing the Rhodes and singing at the same time. And it was like, literally, like, the entire track was done at one time.
Well, that, to me, is still the recipe for a great recording, you know? It's still like, what, you can't do any better than that. But you need to know what the hell you're doing. And you need to have a certain, of course, you need to, like, be, like, good enough as well to roll with the punches and, you know, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Yeah. So I think I was being idealistic. I mean, even I can't do that shit. I kind of was putting that on you guys. So, like, okay, now do something brilliant. Here, I've set you up. I put you in the hallway and you in the thing, and you can't even see each other, but, you know, talk to each other. Really talk, you know, through the music. Yeah. And so I think that was just maybe a little too overzealous. But still, and I like to do this. I like to learn from I learn from past experiences, as we all do. But, you know, so you point out the negative, but you learn from that stuff, and that stuff did contribute to making a great record. So, you know what I mean? Like, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
I mean,
whatever happened.
For sure. And I think that really we gained a confidence after the first couple of songs, because it was like, here's this guy that we, like, as we got to know you, you know, we, like, got past the, like, you know, this is a guy that's played in all these bands that we love, and, you know, and just, like, figured out he's just a really cool dude. But, like, to see you saying that we performed this well, and that it's without any editing and it's just us playing, we ended up playing better because of that, because we felt like we were good, you know, like, there was this confidence, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. I feel that way every time I make a record. Like, I think all over again, I feel like, dang, I'm pretty good, you know, by the end of it, I think, you know what I mean? I'm feeling like, yeah, dude, I got this, I'm pretty sick. But listening to records, or, you know, when I'm not in the studio, I can't imagine that. Like,
oh my God,
you know, I'm not that, I can't do that. I couldn't do that. I need practice. I need to know all the notes I'm playing first, and blah, blah, blah. But when I go out on the, or when I play with the Rack and Tours or something, you know, it's never scripted. It's it's never, so I always have to be listening. And in the end, yeah, it's something to be proud of. So I think that's cool. I feel like, you know, once again, kind of like, I don't know, however you're kind of, it's a means to an end or something, you know, like, you know, me trying to force you guys into being something maybe that you weren't or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Or what was new to you or whatever the case may be, just all kind of all made for this cool, weird record, this quirky record too. Probably one of your quirkiest records.
For sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. And it's our record.
Fans say, what was the consensus? Did you have a general feeling ever about after when it was out?
Yes. I mean,
at the beginning, it was a little rough for sure, but now it's like,
yep,
a classic. I mean, as long as we've been a band, like, I feel like our fans,
right.
It really appreciate it. Like,
is every record, is it not rough like then? So other records aren't, because I feel like, I think most everything you put out is going to be a little rough going, right? People are going to be like, I don't know, dude, this is not like the last one, or you can't win. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Like, I read, actually, I was reading something online about it, and it just seemed to be received kind of generally very well, and that was about it. You know, like, I don't know. I was kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened with at first, our fans were kind of like, all right, what the fuck is this? And it was a lot for them to take in. So like at first, at the shows, it was like taking some time to like get the excitement out of it. But then after a couple of years, I mean, it is by far our most, like, when people request us to place of a shows, it will go down as like a fan favorite record that just like took some time, but it just like built this like cult kind of an audience.
Yeah.
Which I think how we made it kind of, I think looking back, it's like, well, duh, like that's how it was gonna happen. Like we weren't making something that you listen to the first time and you understand everything about it, you know?
Right. Right. And I think that was almost part of the objective, maybe a little bit. Like, I mean,
sure.
I know that's all, it should be a little bit, always a little bit of that. Like, you,
for
you
sure.
know, you want to do something different, sound different. And that's funny because in my world, from where I was coming from, that was extremely different. You know, every step of the way was pretty different for me, and probably in your world as well. So I don't know, that's kind of funny to think about, you know, just kind of two worlds. I think the record's like, I keep trying to, you know, sum it up, but you know, it's like it's the colliding of these two worlds almost.
For sure.
For sure. Yeah. No, I mean, it's exciting to have, like, it's a career record for us, you know, like it's the reason that people are gonna come and see our band in 10, you know, in a decade from now, you know,
because there's some bangers on that record, dude.
Oh yeah. No, it's
second half of the record in my mind is super strong and kind of sleepers, a lot of sleepers, like, you know, just or creepers that kind of creep up on you, you know, like, I don't know, good stuff, man.
Yeah, well, it was an awesome experience, and I think just the confidence that we gained and the like interest in making records that way is something that has continued to stick with us. Like up until now, like, I mean, I remember once we got out of the studio, I went and bought like a whole bunch of recording gear and like got like some of the same preamps and compressors and EQs that we used on the record. And I was taking pictures of stuff, and like we like really got interested way more in the art and like the craft of making
records. That's one thing. It's also kind of slippery slope, right?
Sure.
Keep your eye on the prize, keep playing the music, and let the other guy figure it out. Yeah. Figure out how to record it. I mean,
how much of producing have you been doing since the Rock and Tours have been back making a record and touring?
Well, I haven't done really much at all recently. I mean, I've been working on tracks like remotely. People send me stuff, and then I'll like, which is a blast. Actually, I have a lot of fun doing that. Like, put some background vocals on the song, or Robert Hitchcock song sends me like, you know, like a guitar and vocal, and he'll just say do stuff on this, and that's like my dream come true. You know, so I like doing that kind of stuff, but I do miss, being with people and making music with people, you know, just because of this pandemic thing. But, before all that, I mean, I've been like kind of, I don't know, like in and out of, or just trying, just sort of like jumping around doing different things, producing and co-writing and making records myself, putting out, you know, whatever. So, which is how I like it. You know, I like having a variety. I like doing, like, being able to, you know, work as a producer with a band or an artist or something like that, and then being able to just work on my own stuff or work in the Rock and Tours with a band, you know. It's cool. I don't know.
For sure. I remember when we were making the record, this is awesome that Rack and Tours are back, but at the time it was like, you kind of seemed like that wasn't going to be a thing. So the fact that you guys made another record is fucking awesome. It's great.
Yeah, I don't think,
great record.
Yeah, none of us, I don't think any of us thought that we'd ever get back together after the first tour. but you know, time heals all wounds, right? I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I think a lot of people were shocked that we got back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, how was that experience kind of going from not having been on the road that much for a while, and then getting back, and obviously, like, you guys are such a big band that you're playing every festival every weekend and going overseas, and was that exciting to be back doing that, or did you miss being home? Or
Both. I mean, it was a shock, definitely, like, because it was it happened really quickly, and it was very intense, like, for a year. So, you know, we I don't know how it came together exactly, but it was only like a matter of weeks before we were planning a tour. And
holy shit.
So I wasn't doing anything. I mean, I had made my record, and I was pretty stoked. I mean, I was very stoked on my record and putting it out, but I hadn't found a label or anything. So I was happy that the Rack and Tours thing was coming together, but it happened so fast, and it happened like, it was just so intense, man. Like, we went everywhere in a year. We just fucking went everywhere. And then, like, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, States. We didn't do Europe, though, man. It was really weird.
Huh.
South America. And then we were done. Like, we were, like, in and out. It was really quick. And then the pandemic hit. So, it was really, it was great timing. But yeah, definitely a shock to the system. And then, of course, the pandemic making it extra quiet after that.
Yeah.
After all that. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. I mean, my end, not being able to really kind of promote my record properly, has been, quiet around here.
Yeah, that's tough. So you, I think last time we were in Nashville, or maybe it was the time before, we were out at a bar with some friends, and we looked across the street, and we realized that was exactly where we made the record, but it was just an empty parking lot.
Oh, you were at the Red Door. No way.
Yeah,
man, that building is gone, and they built a parking lot or something, dude. So lame.
It sucks. That place was the best. But
I know, man. That was a real bummer for Nashville to lose that building. It was historical, and plus there was a bunch of studios in there. I don't know. It was a drag.
Yeah, but
it was a good thing actually for me, because I was in there too much, and sort of to the exclusion of like being with my family. So so it made me go back. I just set up a little thing in my basement in my house, but it was great to be able to see meet my family again.
Yeah, because I mean I think you had just had your first kid before the record started, I think.
Yeah, he was like, I think he was like a year old or something, or maybe
yeah,
a couple, but
so.
That's right. And I was on top of the world too, man. Feeling.
Pat just had his first.
Yeah.
Just, no way!
I had my first baby, yeah. And,
congratulations, dude, that's awesome.
Thank you. It's a girl. Charlotte. She's eight months old now. So as big of a bummer as the world's been, and sucks we can't work and all these things, yeah. But I have been home. I haven't missed a single thing.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. That's fucking great, man. Well, that's kind of pretty badass. Maybe to be having a baby for that reason, right? You're like completely available. You're it's like, kind of like more more sort of in accordance with nature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
for
that's
sure.
That's cool, man. Congratulations. Charlotte's a beautiful name too. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Yeah. It's super, super exciting, and just like
it's the best. And
yeah,
I
you
mean,
like
well,
can't explain
find
it. It feels like I guess to me, the only way that I can describe like what it's been like being a dad, and like what's changed, is that I feel like this is what I was supposed to do, with my life. And it's so easy to get caught up in touring and making records and, but then you just like look at this kid and there isn't anything else in the world that you would care about, So
it totally gives you this perspective, doesn't it? I love that too.
For sure. So yeah, it's
well, what
awesome.
About, what about the rest of you? How far are you away from having kids? What about the other guys?
I got a cat and a dog. John just got married last weekend. So two married guys now. I've been with my girlfriend for a long time. Everyone's happy and in relationships, good relationships.
All right. Good to hear it.
Yeah.
To hear it.
Yeah, we're working on our compound right now in Arizona. We're kind of converting a house into a recording studio and our offices and stuff. So kind of the game plan is that we have this first record almost done, and John made a solo record, and then we're going to make another record at some point early next year, because we have so much time on our hands, so
yeah, right.
We're just keeping.
You live together? Did you say you're on a compound? You have like a, you guys, some of you live together?
No, just a place to go to when we're working on music. It has like our merch company out of it, and our management stuff, and all the recording studios and stuff. So we've been working on that the past couple of weeks here. So
I can't wait to hear your new record and John's solo record. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, we'll send you some songs for sure. Are you planning on making another solo record since can't go on tour for the other one?
I think I might release like an EP or something, just small, to just so that I can go on tour next year.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of do your life tour, like the record, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The real record. But then I'm gonna, I don't know. I think I'll always make music, but whether or not I release it, as an artist anymore, I don't know, man, because, you know, I'm 50 years old. Like, I don't know. I don't know how, I'm not sure what I have to contribute anymore.
You keep making awesome stuff. Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk about the record. And it really is like something. I know our fans are super excited to hear this, because there is a very much so and a appreciation for this record, and you were a big part in making it sound the way that it does, and helping us pick the songs, and you know, it's for us, it's a very, it's a standout record. You know, I think when people look back at all the records, you know, when they think about Forever Halloween, it holds a different space than the rest of the records, in a really awesome way.
Cool, man. I'm proud to be associated with it, man. It was a blast making it. I know that for sure. And I hope, I'm glad to be the one to, the one in your career to kind of fuck things up a little bit.
It was great.
I am. You know what I mean? But you're a killer band, dude. So I can't wait to see this live stream on Halloween. This is going to be badass. I'll be there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll send you an email with a code and stuff so you can watch it.
Sweet.
Put you on the virtual guest list.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It was great talking to you, man. Oh. It was too long.
Really,
it was too long.
I know, man. I hope our paths cross at some point so we can actually like hug.
I know.
That'd be great.
So it's crazy that we haven't seen you since we stepped out of the studio.
Dude. It's like two different worlds, man. It really is.
I know.
But we're, you know, united by music.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, hell yeah. Well, have a good rest of your day. And thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Give my love to John and the rest of them.
Cool.
For sure. We will.
All right. Later, guys.
All right, man. Take care. See you.
All right. Bye.